The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Jake Plummer comes up, Pac-12 Network studio analyst, ASU legend. Thursdays with Jake, the Fiesta Bowl, and Jake Plummer, winning combination. We thank the Fiesta Bowl for being a big part of what we do here on Sports360AZ.com. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. Jake Plummer in about 15 minutes. Clark Judge, all things National Football League related, 30 years covering the NFL. All things NFL with Clark Judge. Tonight we have a pretty good, I wouldn't say great, but a pretty good Thursday night game. I'm actually tonight, it looks like, I'm going to be all over the Coyotes. The Coyotes skated Chicago and they've won six in a row on the Blackhawks home ice. Six straight on an opposing team's floor, ice, whatever. It's pretty impressive. We have that coming up. Brad Sesmatch with you. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Sports360AZ.com on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatch, C-E-S-M-A-T. We're on Facebook as well. And, of course, White Mountain Radio. Always good to be a part of the good people at the White Mountain Radio Group. White Mountain Radio, appreciate their support on what we do. And we stream the show live every day. Have fans jumping on board watching us on our site, Sports360AZ.com. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, has today's Facebook question. Eric.
Well, Brad, as of right now, today's a big day.
Yeah.
There's a major announcement this afternoon in sports.
Major announcement. Is that right?
Major announcement, and it could affect one of the local teams.
Is that right?
Yes. Today is the National League MVP announcement.
So we're thinking, do you believe that Paul Goldschmidt will be the guy who wins the MVP?
Not even. Even simpler. Go to our page.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah.
If you've got Goldie winning the NL MVP today, it's that simple.
It's that simple.
It's really that. I mean, the
just
day. I
like
mean,
the
it,
page.
It has to be Diamondback karma. The day after a former Diamondback wins the AL MVP and Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
You got to think he's going to win it.
Goldschmidt winning the MVP. Small market, didn't make the postseason, wasn't relevant down the stretch. I don't know.
Is there a real marquee name that he's going against, though?
No.
No disrespect to Andrew McCutchen and Yadier Molina.
Postseason. Andrew McCutchen's fun
our
to
baseball,
watch.
Our baseball guy, Pedro Gomez, said that can be a little bit overblown.
No, that's true.
From
that's
time
true.
To time.
Yadier Molina, he's just a guy behind the plate.
That's
he's
all
very
he,
good.
He's a great catcher.
He's very good.
But when I think MVP, do I think Yadier Molina?
No. And
really?
where would the Diamondbacks have been without Paul Goldschmidt?
Hey, you hit the nail on the head. That's it.
Today's National League Most Valuable Player Day on a day in Arizona sports where, quite frankly, we're just anticipating the weekend. Because the Suns game last night, I'll get into that in a bit. Today is also Chairman of the Board Jared's birthday. Chairman of the Board Jared turns 21 today, I think.
What do you plus think? 10.
Really? He's over? He's get out of here. He's three bills plus? Wow. We haven't even given Jared a nickname on this show. Everybody has nicknames. There was Nails, and Nails is still here. Nails found Jared. Nails just doing other things in the company. I mean, is Jared like, what's a smaller term for a nail? Because it was Nails with a Z, like Lenny Dykstra. I mean, he screws up a little bit more than Nails did.
We can call him Screws.
Screws. That's a good one. Hey, Screws, happy birthday. Way to go. Did he get his big present, signing bonus and all that?
Yeah, I didn't tell him. It's actually for Jared Cohen. I didn't put his last name on it, but he thinks it's for him. So,
hey, for those of you that have been part of this show for a while, it's Screws. And Eric just came, and do we spell it with a Z at the end as
we
well?
We have to.
Okay, it's Screws. Hey, Screws. Nice job, Screws. We've got Nails. We've got Screws. Does that mean, Eric, you're the hammer? Because if anything goes wrong,
I'm just the guy.
You're just the guy. Shut up. Get out of here. Let's get you caught up on some of the things going on in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino. It is Thursday, and we're just loving life as we're working towards the weekend. Who wouldn't want to pull down the slots, eat some great food, watch some sports, have some fun in the great outdoors as it gets colder and colder? You know the snow is coming. Sunrise is going to be open here before you know it. But you can stay at the Honda Resort Casino, the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. If you've not been there, you are missing out. Well, on a day where it is the NL MVP, as Eric pointed out, I'm not going to do anything today on Richie Incognito because there's nothing really new about this story other than, and I feel like that's what people around water coolers have been talking about for the last week. There's nothing new other than the NFL's guy is going to meet with him tomorrow in New York City. How about trying an airport in Nashville? How about trying a truck stop, a Waffle House in Dade County somewhere? No, let's go to New York City so that every single last media outlet in the world is going to converge tomorrow to watch this poor guy in a nice suit because he's not going to roll in his sweats. He's going to have some nice suit and he's going to have his legal team with him and they're going to make a spectacle out of this. When in reality, go meet him at a truck stop somewhere in South Carolina. Go meet somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Get something done. So that's what's going on that front. I am excited for the Cardinals game this weekend. I know it's Jacksonville. But look, when you're at 5-4 in an NFC where Aaron Rodgers is hurt, Colin Kaepernick hasn't played well, Vernon Davis is hurt, Michael Crabtree's not back yet, Josh McCown starting over Jay Cutler, they've already beaten the Lions. How can you not start looking around at the NFC this weekend, for instance? You have Carolina playing against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Carolina is one of those teams that the Cardinals are going up against. This is a weekend where if you fly to Jacksonville and you lose and Carolina somehow beats the Patriots, it's a big check mark against you. Here is Bruce Arians. Is he concerned about looking past the one-win Jags?
No, I don't think for us right now we should be overconfident at all against anyone. And, I know this, that Maurice Jones-Drew has embarrassed a lot of teams over the years and a lot of players. You don't want to get on that highlight film when he trucks you and runs you over. So you better bring your big boy players when you play against Jacksonville, and you better always have done it. Defensively, they're the same way.
Big boy pants. Love that. MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, what makes the Cardinals' defense so tough?
Their front five, you know, their defensive line, they do a great job of plugging up holes, getting off blocks. Obviously, the linebackers are fast enough, very athletic to run around. And then when they load the box with that extra safety, it's just an extra guy in there that it's hard to get to. So they do a great job, and they do present some challenges for us.
If to admire a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, if Maurice Jones-Drew were in New York City, he'd be on the cover of a lot of Wheaties boxes. Maurice Jones-Drew is in Jacksonville, and he's getting his head kicked in on a one-win team. And he's made a nice career for himself being down there in Jacksonville. I'm really surprised. I think, Eric, you and I talked at the start of the season that the Jacksonville game could be Tim Tebow against the Cardinals. Tim Tebow was working out this last week over at USC. He's still trying to find a job. And Jacksonville's going to have nobody there. Like, if they show any wide shots of this, they're not going to have a blimp hanging out over the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium for the Cardinals game because they would introduce the fans before the players. There will be nobody at that game. Tarp it off. And the Cardinals offense here recently, Carson Palmer, weeks 1-7, had a quarterback rating of 69.5%. In the last 3 weeks, his quarterback rating is at 101.5. He threw 13 picks in the first 7 weeks. He's thrown 2 in the last 3 games. So he is becoming more comfortable, more productive. You know, the tight end gave them a little something this last week. Hauser gave them a little something. They're very big on Jake Ballard coming in. Get a little more out of the tight end. Michael Floyd is beat up. Andre Roberts hasn't seen enough of the offense coming his way. So there's still some concerns. This isn't a gimme game, but it's very intriguing to me. The Ben Roethlisberger story. So on Sunday, NFL.com comes out with the story of Ben Roethlisberger and maybe being reunited, a lot of ifs, maybes, coulda, woulda, shouldas, with Bruce Arians out here in Arizona. Ben Roethlisberger not in the plans. Now the story is being leaked out that a contract that Roethlisberger is looking at, an extension that is going to be discussed this offseason, would go north of $20 million per season for Ben Roethlisberger. That would put him right there with Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco. He signed through 2015 as part of a $102 million deal he got back in 2008. There is precedent for him to receive a deal in that range for what he would likely want because of what Aaron Rodgers is getting in Matt Ryan. Maybe it's because I've seen a lot of Pittsburgh Steeler games. You can just watch games everywhere. He's a big dude who can make big plays. Ben Roethlisberger coming out here at $20 million. That's a lot of cash. I still don't see it happening. I still see it simply as something on the fantasy end that people like to talk about. But it's out there today. The Suns game was very disappointing last night. Damian Lillard hits a layup with 6.5 seconds to go. Suns end up losing to Portland. You see, Dragic took one above the eye last night. 13 stitches. Had a collision. The Suns are home tomorrow night to Jason Kidd. Will Jason Kidd get booed tomorrow night in downtown Phoenix when Brooklyn gets introduced? I think he will. There won't be many people that remember Jason Kidd, but Jason Kidd was one of the more disappointing acts that I've seen here in Arizona. He and I had a really good relationship. I'd say it's right near the top of the list of bad relationships now that I've been a part of in dealing with athletes, because he had some stuff that happened off the court with his wife, and I had to call him out on it on television, and he just went crazy. It happens. As mentioned, the Coyotes tonight skate against Chicago. There's a lot of college football I want to get to. I think up next with Jake Plummer, we're going to talk about the Heisman. There's this maybe something kind of might have happened with Jameis Winston 11 months ago, the story that's floating around out there. And are Heisman Trophy voters going to look at Jameis Winston a little differently? I don't think they should, but there's guys that are looking at Johnny Manziel a little differently too. Jake Plummer next. College football weekend ahead. Pac-12 network analyst, the great Sun Devil Jake Plummer. And then Clark Judge, all things NFL. I'm Brad Sussmat. Good Thursday to you. Sports360AZ.com on Twitter and White Mountain Radio. Time now for the Jake Plummer Show. Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl winning combination, brought to you by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, the good people at the Fiesta Bowl. Jake Plummer, that is a winning combination. We are coming down the home stretch. ASU is at home against Oregon State, but the big game is the following week at UCLA. I think around the Pac-12 conference, this is one of those weeks where you take a bit of a breath, although USC plays Stanford. The Fiesta Bowl itself last night, Northern Illinois wins again. They could end up coming here to the game, or Fresno State coming here to play against Baylor. We'll see what happens on that front. Jake Plummer joins us today. Where are you?
We're down in San Diego, actually. Just took a little trip down with the little guys to go SeaWorld, Disneyland, do that kind of thing, and spend a little family time down here on the beach. It's beautiful down here.
There's not a problem with that. That's where I grew up. Go to Carlsbad. Yeah. You know, you make sure you go to Carlsbad and go to Sessie's, get a burrito, sit on the lifeguard tower. You'll get right in a hurry. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I got you, man.
Yeah. You know, there's a little $20, go deep sea fishing, catch a couple albacore, and all of a sudden life doesn't look so fast. But you're catching your breath before the post run, and I appreciate that. I want to get into the Heisman with you a little bit, and I know we talk about it every week. We have a little part of the Heisman, but I want to lead off with it. There's a story that is real shifty and shaky. Unfortunately, it's been picked up in the mainstream media about Jameis Winston and an altercation or an incident that happened a year ago. I'm not going to get into details on it, but it's out there nonetheless, unfortunately, because it sounds like, man, this was a year ago. That's out there. Johnny Manziel, there's some people that aren't going to vote for him that at the start of the year because of the off-the-field stuff, which I don't agree with. Heisman's all about on the field. Marcus Mariota gets his knee dinged, and they lose to Stanford. Jake, are we starting to see a chink in each one of the armors, and A.J. McCarron would be the safe pick for the Heisman Trophy voter this year?
Yeah, but I don't think Heisman is not meant to, you know, supposed to make a safe pick. I mean, it's about who's winning the big games, and everybody wants to have their predictions and have these charts of who's number one, who's number two, and it kind of is like the preseason rankings, which I wish they'd do away with and let the games play out, let the players make plays, let the rankings come into effect right now. You know, the winners step up in November and the guys that make plays. I mean, last night, that was a big game. It was fun to watch, you know, and I think players make plays at certain times for their teams, and off the field stuff, I don't think, you know, obviously it should factor in if it's something major, but, you know, same thing happened to Manti Te'o last year. It was kind of sad to hear that come up and kind of tarnish him a little bit. And now Jameis Winston, who's done nothing but play hard, play with a lot of spirit, and win games for FSU, is now I got to deal with this. And it's like putting these young kids in a tough spot because enough they have at school, they have football, and then they got Heisman talk, and now he's got to worry about this whole, you know, accusations and all these things, and I hope it doesn't affect his play because he's definitely fun to watch. But I think, you know, Jordan Lynch stepped up last night, and he made some huge plays for his team down the stretch to win that game against Ball State, and therefore, to me, he just moved up my charts because I want to see players make plays at crucial moments for their teams, not just hand the ball off to T.J. Yeldon and watch him tear LSU up.
You know, Jordan Lynch, and we're talking with Jake Plummer every week, Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. Jordan Lynch at Northern Illinois University, 2 touchdowns rushing and throwing. I can't see how he can have a bigger stage than last night. So that was his Heisman resume. We're in a day and age, though, where a guy like that has very little shot of making it. What would your case be for Jordan Lynch when you've watched him this year?
Well, I think the Heisman gets a little bit too much into stats and big schools and you know, the schools that get all the pub. It's more of a publicity campaign more than just who's the best football player, who means more to their team than anybody else. And right now, I mean, the kid stepped up last night. That throw that he made after breaking a couple tackles, rolling to his right to pick up a huge first down, that was huge, you know. And they were battled, and no, Ball State's not going to take it to Auburn or Alabama. But, hey, it's the level you're playing at. It's the time you're playing. And when he needed to step up, he did just that. And I think that moves him up the charts. A guy like Bryce Petty also, I mean, a guy on another big stage, beat Oklahoma, played outstanding. But no one's talking about him because it's Baylor. Mm-hmm. Who's Baylor? They're not a football powerhouse. We want the Heisman to go to an Ohio State guy or want him to go to a USC guy. It's like, come on, let's break new ground and give it to somebody who really deserves it. Someone who stepped up repeatedly for their team, made plays repeatedly for their team, and, you know, let it be and give it to the player that really deserves it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. AJ McCarron, I don't believe AJ McCarron is a Heisman candidate. He just steers that ship. He does his job. I think if anybody on that team, it'd be Yeldon, because that guy, he carried him in the second half against LSU. Without T.J. Yeldon, Alabama's not ranked number one anymore, I believe.
Where's Mariota in your Heisman mix?
He's still there. Yeah. You know, he had a bad game. And, you know, it's like, what kind of precedence do we put on having a little bit of hitting a little bit of a speed bump as a young man? I mean, that's part of life, right? When you have a little bit of a down week or a down game, what do you do afterwards? And I look for him to bounce back, and he's still should be in the running purely on the fact of just what he's done and what he means to his team. You know, I don't think he is the front runner or the number one guy, but, you know, who knows? It's there's still a lot of games to be played. And right now I'd say, you know, Jameis Winston's the odds-on favorite. Johnny Manziel has to be in the talk because of just his style of play. It's Heisman-style play in my mind.
Let's bounce over then on the coach of the year. So there's 3 games left in the regular season. And to me, Gus Malzahn and what he's done at Auburn this year, they were picked to finish 5th, and now they're ranked 7th. They're picked to finish 5th in their conference, and they're 7th in the nation. Jimbo Fisher down at Florida State has done a terrific job. I think Art Briles over at Baylor has done an amazing job. I look at what's going on out here, though, and I'm going to bring this in, and there'll be some people that roll their eyes. If Todd Graham is able to win the next 3 games and take his team to the Pac-12 South title in the title game against probably Stanford, that could change. I would think there'd be some discussion about him. I've actually seen Ed Orgeron's name on some lists for taking over USC. I don't get that. Could you see Todd Graham's name showing up out there?
I think it's definitely got to be on the list. I mean, what he's done so far and how his team's responded, and last week was a huge challenge, and a good coach gets their team, keeps them motivated, and helps them fight through tough times. He's the guy you look to for that solidarity, that feeling of confidence on the sideline. And when you're down in Utah by 2 scores, and they still were able to pull that off, that was huge. And the team was out there playing, but the coach is running the show. And I think they're going to have another test this weekend. Oregon State's no pushover, but if they finish strong, he should be in the running. The guys you mentioned before, Gus Malzahn, Art Briles, those guys are those guys are great coaches doing great things, but I think it's too early to say who's the winner.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still some big games going on, you know, in the future here. And I think at USC, Coach Orgeron, he's done a great job. I mean, you look at the difference on that sideline. You can see it. You can feel it from through a TV screen. You can see confidence and attitude and swagger, and that's just straight from their head coach. And you got to love that guy coming in, picking his team up, and now they're scary. They're a threatening team. Thank goodness ASU beat them earlier this year, because I could see them do it. They got Stanford, and I don't know. I know Stanford's Coach Shaw is going to be able to put himself in the running if he can go in and find a way to beat USC and do what they've been able to do, because that's a tough team to play right now.
I mean, you can make the argument, Jake, that if the winner of the USC-Stanford game this weekend probably is going to get quite a few votes for Pac-12 Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, even if USC were to finish behind Oregon State, if Orgeron beats Stanford, if David Shaw wins this weekend, David Shaw's done everything pretty much he's been asked to do this year. And so there's a lot riding on that. Let me take you over to Oregon State ASU a step further. Sean Mannion, the quarterback for the Beavers, is one of the more underrated quarterbacks, I don't think just in the conference, but in the country. I think you and I talked about him back like week one, week two. What do you see out of him at Oregon State?
I see, you know, a very threatening, scary passing game that you better be prepared to cover in the deep end, and also get a pass rush on. The one thing lacking there is a run game. I think everybody knows that. And I think the times that Mannion has struggled is when he's been, you know, pressure's been put on him. He's amazing when he can set his back foot, you know, go and throw it through all his big targets, and mainly, you know, Brandon Cooks, who's a phenomenal receiver. But yeah, it's you got to get pressure on him, get him to move his back foot. He drops back seven steps, cocks that thing out, his big arm, and lets it fly. And if you can keep him uncomfortable, you know, then there's a chance. And I think that's one thing that ASU has going, is that they got a chance to put pressure on the passer. And I really like him. I like his game for the next level too. Mannion, I think, has the ability to drop back, the ability to stand in the pocket and chuck it all over the field.
Where would you rank him among Pac-12 quarterbacks? I mean, not like 1 through 10. Is he in the middle? Is he a little bit higher than that?
I'd put him up higher, because I think quarterbacks these days, they're such a new breed of running quarterbacks that, you know, you can tend to overlook a guy like him that is a pure passer. I mean, he's going to stand in there. You can throw any offense you want at him, and he's going to go through his progressions, throw it, you know, from the right side all the way to the left side. His knock is that he has a lack of mobility. He doesn't have the greatest feet, and he's not real good at, once you get him off of his first setup of his drop, resetting and making a play. And that's something I'm sure he'll work on and hopefully get better at. But he's got to be up there, pure passer. As far as pure passing goes, I think he's one of the top two or three in the Pac-12.
Mm.
But all around, full-on, like, total quarterback that can move and run around, I got to put him down a little further, around 4 or 5, just because, you know, he doesn't make any plays with his legs. And that, this day and age, with the rushers and the speed they got coming off the end, you got to be able to do something else besides just toss it.
You're at SeaWorld now?
Not yet. We're going this afternoon.
All right. All right. Yeah. So do the Shamu thing. Toes in the sand. Go to Del Mar. Go to Del Mar and just go to Durant's, and you'll be just fine. Just fine.
I tell you what, man. My toes are in the sand right now, man.
Atta
I'm
boy.
Watching the waves.
Attaboy.
I saw some dolphins this morning, so it's been nice.
Yeah. Tough life. I appreciate the time. I'll see you soon. Stay well.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Have a good one, man.
You got it. It's Jake Plummer. In the sand, toes in the sand. It's good. He's got good stuff, man. Every week he's got a little something there on Mannion, because you talk about the quarterbacks nationally. I mean, we're talking about the Heisman. He's getting into A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron to him is not a Heisman Trophy candidate. But, and I would agree with that. But I believe that as we go through the voting process, there's going to be guys that hold the Manziel stuff from last August against him. There's probably going to be some fools that say, and when I say fools, I have to preface that by, we don't know the details, but this was a story that happened a year ago with Jameis Winston, and now all of a sudden it comes out. So why does it come out with 2 weeks to go in the regular season, a year later? And there's going to be some people that will just take a report and say, oh, he's got in trouble. And that's why I say fools. That's foolish. You have to find out the whole deal. The other guys that are out there, you know, you go, Marcus Mariota had a bad game, as Jake pointed out. He's been really good, but he's not the overwhelming candidate. know, a guy like Kadeem Carey is sitting out there at U of A, and I keep bringing up stuff. Yeah, I'm here in Arizona. I see how terrific he is. Kadeem Carey is going to put up huge numbers against Washington State this week. And then next week he has Oregon. And that's going to be the game where either he'll jump into the middle of this or he'll be out of it.
And the Heisman Trophy can be so misleading. I mean, case in point, Jake Plummer. Like, let's look back 20 years. Danny Werfel won the Heisman Trophy and Jake Plummer didn't.
No, that's...
Orlando Pace finished fourth that year. Yeah. East Coast bias.
No, that you're, and that hasn't changed.
East Coast bias.
But I think on the coach of the year part, I know it sounds like I'm the homer here in Arizona throwing Todd Graham's name in there. He'd have two losses. Those two losses, and some people would hold the Wisconsin game against him, I'm sure. Those two losses happened to Stanford and Notre Dame. And that's no great shame, even though Notre Dame is not very good this year, in my opinion. That was a neutral site game. But the job that Gus Malzahn has done at Auburn, come on. The Tigers are sitting there. They were awful. They were 3-9 last season. They were awful. And they still have Alabama in front of them. If Auburn beats, and that game's at Auburn, good stuff. Clark Judge on the other side, all things NFL, all things around the National Football League tonight. The NFL weekend gets underway. If you missed our fantasy football segment yesterday with Michael Fabiano and you're setting your lineups for the weekend, playoffs are right around the corner. Just go to our website, sports360az.com, and you can click on the Michael Fabiano report. He has all sorts of great content there from the NFL Network. He's part of what we do here at Sports360AZ. Clark Judge is next. I'm Brad Sussman. Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, and boats. Let them sell your vehicle. No upfront cost, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all the details, advertises, shows your vehicle, negotiates the price, closes the deal, handles all the paperwork. You got that boat that's sitting out front collecting dust. Like, why'd I buy a boat? Or that motorcycle, whatever it may be, simplysellitnow.com, simplysellitnow.com, a part of what we do here at Sports360AZ. Clark Judge joins us now, all things National Football League. So the Redskins started checking in on Art Briles down at Baylor, the report goes, this morning. He gets an extension to stay at Baylor. What coaches do you believe are in some trouble here, Clark, as we go down the stretch off this report? You would have to think Mike Shanahan is under the gun with Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, you would think so. He's got another year left, but they've been disappointing this year. You know, I'd let this thing play out, but he does have another year left. Rex Ryan's got another year left, too, with the Jets. He's another guy to keep your eye on. And you know, what your listeners are going to say is, that, geez, they're 5-4. They're much better than they should be. That is absolutely true. He should be a guy who's getting Coach of the Year consideration. I say that sort of in jest.
Really,
but,
yeah.
But really, I mean, he's done a nice job there. And that's true, too. But the fact of the matter is, a couple years ago, he was 8-5 at one point, and they said, oh, you know, we're going to make the playoffs. They lost the last three games. Eric Mangini was 8-3 at one juncture in his last year with the Jets, and they stumbled down the stretch, lost the last game against the Jets, against the Dolphins, and he got fired after that. So there's no telling here. Woody Johnson is going to be careful about what he does there, but I would think a guy like Jason Garrett's got to worry. Certainly Greg Schiano. I mean, we've talked before about Greg Schiano here. I don't know how he keeps his job, but I think Jason Garrett's going to have to worry too, because you watched that team last week. My God, were they awful. And I don't think there's any reason to believe they can be any better than 8-8 this year. That's what they've been under the two complete years with Jason Garrett. Another 8-8 year and out of the playoffs, and then he's gone. I would also keep my eyes on Joe Philbin. I know we talked about that a week ago with a situation down there that seems to sort of never end, and I'm talking about that Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation. But I think the likely guy to get the gas there is Jeff Ireland, the GM. Somebody's going to get it, and there's going to be someone who's going to take the fall. But Philbin kind of looks like a guy who's asleep at the wheel here, and I think that's troubling. And I would watch that team, you know, as it goes down the stretch here. I want to see how they responded Monday. I'm sure you did, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't respond very well, so I'd watch him as well.
Clark Judge, all things NFL. I don't want to sit here and just bury coaches for our segment today, but I'll throw a couple names at you. What's going on in Atlanta? Is it simply injuries? Have they had their window? Have they peaked? Has the window closed? Yeah, they have Matt Ryan, who's terrific. What's going on in Atlanta, and should there be something to look at down there?
No, not immediately, but I think it's mostly injuries, not just simply injuries, but they got a back, Steven Jackson, who we thought had another year left in him, really doesn't. They probably were better off with Michael Turner, an offensive line that's not very good. Matt Ryan lost his two key players on the outside. I mean, Julio Jones is an elite receiver. Boom, gone for the season. Roddy White hasn't played at all, really. And he subtracts him. Now you got Harry Douglas is your best guy? Well, no, it's Tony Gonzalez. When Tony Gonzalez and nobody else is out there and no running game, puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You see the results. He's thrown a lot of interceptions. Defense isn't very good. I don't think they've missed their window, but it's closing. Gonzalez could be gone next year. I don't know how Jones is going to be coming back from the injury, but that's a really disappointing team. And so I think they give him another year just because Mike Smith's done a terrific job in turning that team around. And I know Thomas Dimitroff is a big ally of his. They'll give him another year. But I think it's something worth mentioning. And another name that comes up is Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, and I don't know whether you're going to ask about him.
Really?
But, that's another guy that say, no, forget it. They're so used to success in Pittsburgh, they're going, hey, wait a second. We're likely going to miss the playoffs. What's going on there? Well, what's going on? The defense got old. Not very good. And I think there'll be a lot of changes there. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if Dick LeBeau didn't return just because, you know, he's up there, he's done a great job, and this team is going to need to be made over. But the one thing about the Steelers is, and you know, Brad, that's a consistent, stable organization.
Yep, yep.
They don't fire people like other people do. So when people bring up his name, I go, forget it. Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere.
But what do you make then? We're talking with Clark Judge, all things NFL. What do you make then out of the report over the weekend, because I poo-pooed it, of Roethlisberger being reunited with Arians here in Arizona? It's a $20 million payment. The agent, I think, is starting to work this behind the scenes. The agent vehemently, or the player vehemently denies that there's anything there. Could you see Roethlisberger parting there and showing up in Arizona next offseason?
No, I couldn't, because I think the Steelers are certainly going to have to make that decision. He doesn't make it unilaterally. The Steelers would have to make that decision to trade him. They're not going to trade this guy. He's a franchise quarterback. So is there some friction there? No question. We know that. I agree with you. I think the seeds were planted by the agent, who then came out and said, oh, geez, I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's where I will guarantee that thing came from. Roethlisberger's not happy there because they're not winning. And that's been a problem for the last couple of years. Yeah, he loves Bruce Arians. A lot of guys love Bruce Arians. He's a good coach to play for, and he's a successful coach. But would Pittsburgh be stupid enough to make a deal to send him to? No. Quarterbacks, when you get franchise quarterbacks, there are a handful of them. You keep them. You hold on to them. And I do think that Pittsburgh would want this guy to retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
But let me ask, they do. Let me ask you this, though, Clark, and that is, he's due $20 million next year. Is he Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers? Is he in the same breath as Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, from your view?
In my view, and it's skewed, yeah, I would say he is.
Okay.
He doesn't put up the numbers Drew Brees does. He has the success and more success than Drew Brees does. They had better defenses there. They've got a history of winning, but Ben Roethlisberger made it happen. He makes more big plays and extends more plays than any quarterback out there. I love this guy. I think they ought to protect him. I think you do make him the keystone to your franchise, and they have. So you don't get rid of him, and you do what you can to keep him.
Best game of the weekend, 49ers, Saints, along with the Chiefs and the Broncos, obviously.
Yeah.
But the 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, not the same guy. A lot of whispers of what's going on. Is it a matter of, well, yeah, he's not the same guy because Vernon Davis had a concussion and Crabtree hasn't been there this season.
Right.
What do you see out of Kaepernick in San Francisco? And there's a lot of buzz about it. Is there something wrong with him?
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I was just asked on the San Francisco radio station yesterday, has this guy regressed? What's going on with him? I said, wait a second. You didn't ask me that question a week ago. They won five straight. And now because they lost one question, well, the reason is because they played a very good defense. And as you mentioned, he lost his best receiver, and that's Vernon Davis, not Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
And they don't have Crabtree. Crabtree was always his go-to guy. Doesn't have him. Bolden's been there on and off, but you saw after that first game, it's kind of come back to earth, and people have told me that there's no separation with these guys, and they've had to use Vernon Davis deep because he's their biggest and best threat. So that's going to have an impact on him. Plus, he doesn't surprise, or that team doesn't surprise anyone anymore with the read option. They were looking for it, and they were saying, okay, we're going to make him throw the ball down the field. Well, his best downfield receiver is gone. So now it's Vernon Davis. Well, he was gone last week, too. They had to put a tackle in it as a reserve tight end. I mean, they were hurting for bodies last week. Plus, they played a very, very good and underrated defense. So has he regressed? I don't think so, Brad. But people talk about his progressions, his reads. I think he's having a more difficult time this year because he's not surprising anyone. Now defenses are ready for him. Defensive coordinators are ready for him. But the other thing is, he raised the bar so high last year that when you hear guys like Ron Jaworski coming out before the season start, he could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Please, let's give this guy a chance to breathe.
Chiefs Broncos, what do you make out of the game that hasn't been said already this week? And do you allow Dwayne Bowe to play? The right thing from my view, Chiefs could certainly make the argument we are deactivating him. They certainly can make that argument.
I don't know enough about it. What little I do know, I would not play him. I'm a big character guy. I would not play him.
Yeah, and I'm same as you.
I wouldn't.
And what about the game?
I think you set an example for the rest of the team and just say, listen, I don't care how good this guy is. He screwed up, and he screwed up before. He's sitting down. He's got to be penalized. He's got to be punished. If you do the same thing, you're going to be punished. What I make of this game is, to me, it's all about Peyton Manning, and it's not about how many touchdowns he throws. It's about those ankles. He didn't practice on Wednesday. You saw that happen once before this year, is when they played Washington, and he practiced the rest of the week. This is a different team than Washington. Redskins couldn't stop you and me, Brad, but these guys can. This is a good defense. They're going to get after him. They're going to have to make some adjustments so the ball gets out of his hands quickly. He's going to get hit. They better hope they can run the ball against these guys, because they haven't allowed more than 17 points in any game this year. So I think what Kansas City's hoping is that Manning's hobbled. We hit him a few times. You saw what happened in that Indianapolis game when he got hit by Mathis. He wasn't the same in the second half.
Yep.
Didn't have the velocity on the passes. Some of the passes were underthrown. Wasn't the same guy. Keep the score down. We can win it that way, because these guys do turn the ball over. They're minus two in the differential. The Chiefs don't. They're plus 15. We can win it that way by Alex Smith managing the game, Jamal Charles running up down the field, and the defense suffocating Manning.
Before I let you go, you're back in the East Coast. I'm out here in Arizona. Neither one of us are in Houston, and I'm still uncomfortable with Gary Kubiak being on the sidelines so soon.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you out on that one?
I agree with you more. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I saw that and went, what's the rush?
Yeah.
What is the rush to get back?
You're 2-7. Come on.
Yeah,
you're going nowhere.
And I agree with you. I mean, you had a warning here, honestly. I mean, I would think you'd wonder about coming back at all this season.
Yeah.
He had a warning here, so take your time. But apparently he's been cleared. I mean, obviously he's been cleared. So he's coming back, and I know he's doing what he wants to do, and they said, you know, he's watching his hours. Nevertheless, this is a scary thing. I mean, we're not talking about getting ready for a season. We're talking about a life and death situation. He got lucky, all right? He got lucky, and that's a warning. But I'm with you. I don't know what the rush is. I do think he'll give them an emotional lift, but for what? They're playing for next year.
Yeah. And when they say he's watching his hours, I have a hard time believing any NFL coach, especially with a losing record, is sitting at home watching Everybody Loves Raymond having a bowl of popcorn on a 7 o'clock on a work night getting ready for a game against the Raiders. That doesn't happen with coaches. And it's asinine to me.
I couldn't agree with you more. What coach watches his hours? None of them.
Right.
These guys are sleeping in their office, and we're wondering about, you know, should we lock the doors? This guy's banging the door to try to get in after a mild stroke. I really wish he'd take his time.
Stay well. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, all things NFL, around the National Football League with Clark Judge, one of the best in the business, 30 years checking it out, and a good weekend. Like, the Chargers play the Dolphins, right? And Eric's all caught up in the Chargers. That's his problem. I'm going to be sitting there taking, I don't know, 3 hours out of the middle of the day on Sunday. And it's supposed to be nice this weekend to watch the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm never going to get those 3 hours back. That's it. There's 3 hours of my life watching Jayville. How many of you are going to do that? I don't know, but then I'll be here Monday to talk about it. Sports360AZ.com. It is Screw's birthday today. Not Nails, Screw's with a Z. Chairman of the board, Jared. Eric Sorensen, Jared Cohen. We all just one big happy kumbaya family getting it done here. On White Mountain Radio and, of course, on Twitter, at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. So I had a life experience happen last night. It's one of those deals where, as a dad, you roll in. Brad Sesmat with you, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. I roll in last night after some just meetings and stuff. And I'm informed that my daughter gave a verbal commitment to a college outside of Chicago to go play soccer. It's supposed to be a pretty big deal, right? She did it via text and didn't tell her dad. So this morning I saw her, because she was at club practice last night and all that stuff. I said, did you commit? And she pulls out her phone and Well, here's what the coach sent me yesterday. Hey, we would really like to have you, yada, yada, yada. It's one of these deals. And this coach has been very nice in going back and forth. We visited the school a few weeks back. And so she sends back a text. Yeah, hey, that sounds great. I'd love to be part of it. Can I wait until January? And he sends back a text. Yes, jumping up and down. So excited to have you. That was the verbal. It's an NAIA school. This isn't committing to Alabama if you're a football player or anything like that. It's still a cool little life deal, though, and it's on the sports end of things. It's been kind of fun over the last few months seeing the recruiting process for one of your own. I cover guys. Eric covers guys. They go through the process. One of her best friends committed to a volleyball school yesterday. National Letter of Intent Day was yesterday. It's a big time. All you guys and girls that have kids, ladies, gents, whatever term you want me to use, grandmas, grandpas, whatever. I don't want to leave anybody out. Male, female. When you make that choice of where you're going, it's a life moment. As a dad, I'm pretty excited about it. But I'm sitting here today, and the number one recruit in high school football in the nation is looking at Alabama today. And there's all the talk about Nick Saban leaving Alabama and perhaps going to Texas. Completely different scale. If the soccer coach at this NAIA school leaves, I don't know if my daughter would still want to go there, but she's going there to get educated. Football kid, Nick Saban's not there. Gosh, I don't know if I'd want to go there. Kind of interesting how that plays out. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Santan Ford, general manager Tim Hovick, his sales staff, his staff like John Bernath, who handles everything in the department where you get your vehicle fixed, the maintenance department, right? You get on in there in the quick lube and you get things taken care of. Have you had your car checked in a while? Have you gone through the quick lane? Have you been in and had your vehicle taken care of as you get ready to head out for the holidays? Thanksgiving, a couple of weeks from today. 2 weeks from today is Thanksgiving, believe it or not. And it's like, I don't know, what, 4 weeks till Christmas? 5 weeks? Something like that. It's just coming right down the pike. My point is, you're going to be traveling a lot of places here in the next few weeks, month, with the holidays coming up. So if you need your vehicle checked out, stop on into Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off of Val Vista and the 202 Santan Freeway. Or if you're thinking, hey, it's coming to the end of the year, this is the right time for me to buy that vehicle I've been checking out. It certainly is. You're looking into the Ford. The Ford has all sorts of different brands. Could be the F-150, could be the Fusion Hybrid, and on and on. Stop on in at Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The baseball owners are meeting today. That's got my eye. There's some conversation around the Diamondbacks and what they're going to do with their roster here in this offseason. There's some conversation around the Dodgers, perhaps Yasiel Puig. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. The owners today have been told that a good chunk of the instant replay money should be provided by commercial sponsorship during breaks. So, hey, owner, the game takes 3 hours and 20 minutes, and now we're going to throw a replay in on top of it. But guess what? We're going to give you more commercials so that the poor fan that is sitting there while these guys huddle off the field for 2, 3, 4 minutes, you're going to make more jack. Well, our bottom line's not good. We're the fill-in-the-blank team. We're 30 games out of first place. We need more replay. Show more replay. So they're working on that today down at the owners' meetings.
It's funny you mentioned replay because you jogged my memory on something. Did you see the Suns game last night?
I did.
Did you hear what Eddie Johnson said on the telecast about how he thought one of the Blazers goaltended by touching the rim on one of the last-second tip-ins?
Missed it.
Every sport we have replay, and the NBA has replay, but they don't have replay in that situation with the game on the line. It's just interesting how different pro sports, like the NFL is all about replay. In college football, every single scoring play is reviewed.
But here's the thing on that. I think having replay at the stadium site is wrong. I think having how the NHL has actually done something right here. They have replay in their league offices in Toronto. So you don't have a guy in the white hat that runs over under the hood with fans yelling stuff at him and feeling the pressure of the game and feeling 80,000 people like, let's get on with this. Or somebody playing the sound of a clock ticking or whatever it is. Put it in the hands of somebody in New York City that watches replay. that is sitting there in a control room. You make billions of dollars. It takes the pressure off them. Because even so, Eric, it's not like they get all those replay calls right.
No, and that's a whole nother topic. I mean, like you see it on the replay on TV 6 or 7 times, and it's clear the receiver does not have possession, right. And then they go under the hood, and then the ref says, yep, the receiver had possession, the play stands, and the announcers are like, what replay are you looking at?
Well, there's that, and then like the NBA, what do? Timeout. They walk over to the table.
Flip the TVs around.
Guys pick the TV up. They flip it
around. The 1986 monitor, they flip it around.
Right, and then they watch, and they put a headset on them, and they're telling them, can I see that again? Can I see that again? No, it's in New York City in the league office. Replay is going on. The referees are over to the side. They're getting a drink. They're wiping their brow. They're resting up. They don't have the pressure on top of them of 16, 18,000 people. The referees have enough on their plates as well. So, you know, in baseball, the pacing of the game for any sport is become an issue, I think. The NBA is pretty much on the mark, though. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Pretty much.
2 hours and 20 minutes.
But in a case like last night when the game is on the line, where do you draw the line, no pun intended, with human error? Because everyone's, you know, look at your show sheet 4 days out of the 5 of the week. There's human error from me.
Oh, yeah.
But
listen back to the show that I do every day. There's human error from me. I'm doing this for a couple of hours.
But when a game is on the line,
yeah.
Where do you do a replay on that? I mean, they clearly didn't make the call. So is it in the best interest of the sport for them to go back, look at the replay, and then reverse the call?
Yeah. No, I missed that call. What I noticed last night, I think what's going to happen with the Suns is Bledsoe's going to run out of gas. As the season goes on, he looks great and he looks fresh and he's terrific. And it's November. Is Eric Bledsoe, as hard as he plays, I don't see him take many plays off. And when he's not on the floor and they move Dragic over there, they're okay. But I just don't think that he's going to be the type of guy that is able to put in the amount of minutes he's putting in and they're going to have success. Again, and Al did, we had Al McCoy on yesterday. Al's not going to say on the air, look, don't let this start be deceiving. But there have been people down there that I've talked to in person and in other forms that have said, yeah, it's a nice start, but let's see where we are in January and February. I think they are going to run out of gas. It's a good team they're playing tomorrow night. They haven't played well. Brooklyn hasn't played well. But they're one of those, it's sad to say this, they're one of those NBA teams that's pacing themselves. They don't care about winning games in November, really. I mean, It's like
San Antonio.
Yeah, you know, you're just pacing.
Wake us up in the spring.
Come on, you know, let's get here to March 15th, and so you know, tomorrow night they have Brooklyn and Kevin Garnett, Jason Kidd. They have all those guys in the Valley, and there's not really much of a buzz about it. It's unfortunate. By the way, over on sports360az.com, we have high school football playoffs starting tomorrow night. We are now down to the quarters. We're in the quarterfinals. So there's plenty of content up on Sports 360 AZ on stuff around the high school football playoffs. National Letter of Intent Day was yesterday. Also, plenty of content around Arizona State and Oregon State coming this weekend. Audio, video, all sorts of things, and around the NFL as well. Check it out, sports360az.com. Every day, Eric, Jared, myself, and our contributors. And if you feel like you want to be a contributor, some of you are out there have really sharp, strong takes. Always take stuff that's written. Seriously. Could be a big break in show business. It's what we do here. Something a little different. It's a community. Sports360AZ.com on White Mountain Radio. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter @BradSussman.